I know you have been waiting a long time for this. You may now kiss your wife.
Just feeling on top of the world, you know, that we're now legally wives, spouses. I mean, how good is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
A few months ago, we didn't know he'd ever get to be legally married in Australia. So the fact that today he'll have a husband is pretty incredible.
Oh, please don't cry.
Together we fought for this. And darling man, we won.
Yeah. Woo!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. An inter-American court ruling requires regional rights for same-gender couples, a joy jock honors his lesbian mums, and marriage equality dawns down under. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending January 13th, 2018. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights, based in San Jose, Costa Rica, has ordered that country to let same-gender couples marry. The court's January 9th edict, in response to a request for a ruling by that country, is binding legal precedent for every other country that has ratified the American Convention on Human Rights. Those member states include Barbados, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, and the Dominican Republic. Private consensual adult same-gender sex is still against the law in a few of those countries. Others offer less than equal civil unions to same-gender couples, but the court said that separate laws for same-gender couples are not acceptable. The nations that have ratified the American Convention on Human Rights were ordered to guarantee access to all existing forms of domestic legal systems, including the right to marriage, in order to ensure the protection of all the rights of families formed by same-sex couples without discrimination. The court also ordered the Costa Rican government to allow trans people to legally change their name and gender on government documents.
The United States and Canada, although part of the Organization of American States, over which the Inter-American Court of Human Rights has jurisdiction, have not ratified the American Convention on Human Rights, but marriage equality already exists in those two countries. Costa Rican government officials applauded the ruling and said they would begin immediately drafting legislation to open marriage to same-gender couples. There's been no public response as yet from any of the other countries affected by the ruling. The court acknowledged that some nations would face institutional difficulties in opening civil marriage to same-gender couples, noting that opposition in heavily Roman Catholic Latin America is often based on religious belief. But the court ruled, in democratic societies, there should exist mutually peaceful coexistence between the secular and the religious.
One of the advocates general of the European Court of Justice, in an opinion published on January 11th, said that the marriages of gay and lesbian couples legally performed elsewhere should be recognized by every EU member state, even if that member state itself does not offer marriage equality. The decision came in the case of Romanian gay man Adrian Comen, who legally married his American partner, Clay Hamilton, in Brussels in 2010. Comen took his homeland to court after Romanian officials refused to grant spousal residency to Hamilton. Romania is among the few remaining EU countries that refuse to legally recognize same-gender couples in any form, a list that also includes Bulgaria, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and Slovakia. 13 countries in the European Union have marriage equality, while 9 others have some form of civil partnerships. Under the EU's 2004 Freedom of Movement Principle, member states are required to grant residency to citizens' spouses from non-EU countries. The term spouse had previously been undefined. Advocate General Melchior Wathelet said this week that the term spouse includes gay and lesbian partners. While their decisions are not binding, judges on the European Court of Justice usually follow the recommendations of their advocates general. Since the Romanian Constitutional Court referred the case to the European Court of Justice in 2016, a U.S. evangelical-inspired movement has arisen in the country to constitutionally ban marriage equality.
You are both legally married!
Marriage equality officially arrived in Australia on January 9th. A few same-gender couples were allowed to marry earlier than that due to health or financial concerns. But hundreds of lesbian and gay couples across the country tied the knot, several just a few minutes after midnight, after the required 30-day waiting period following their declared intention to wed. Those declarations followed the final passage in Parliament of a marriage equality bill in early December. We'll have a lot more from our Down Under correspondent, Barry McKay, later on most of these This Way Out stations.
A three-judge panel of India's Supreme Court, including the Chief Justice, announced on January 8th that the full bench would be reviewing the constitutionality of Penal Code Section 377, a British colonial-era law that outlaws sexual acts against the order of nature. The law even criminalizes consensual oral sex between a man and a woman and declares that only penile vaginal sex is natural. India's Supreme Court overruled a lower court decision in 2013 that had struck down the statute, saying at that time that only legislators could change the country's laws. Efforts in Parliament to do that have failed. But a Supreme Court ruling in a separate case in August last year declared that privacy is a fundamental right, and the decision even cited Section 377 as an example of the possible infringement of those rights. In response this week to a legal challenge filed by five well-known queer petitioners who say they're living in fear of being jailed because of Section 377, the Chief Justice noted that what is natural to one may not be natural to others. The court demanded a timely response to the petition from the government.
The U.S. Supreme Court this week refused to review a draconian license to discriminate law in the state of Mississippi. HB 1523 allows businesses and individuals, even government workers, to refuse service to LGBT people or anyone else they don't like, such as interracial heterosexual couples, based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. The law, which took effect in October, also overturned local anti-bias ordinances. HB 1523 declares, despite the U.S. Supreme Court marriage equality ruling, that only one man and one woman can marry, that sexual relations are confined to such a marriage, and that gender is determined at birth and cannot be changed. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit ruled late last year that those who brought suit did not have legal standing to challenge the law because they had not yet actually been harmed by it. The Supreme Court rejected the case without comment, but did not rule on its merits. The High Court justices are currently considering another religious discrimination case involving a Colorado baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple based on his devout Christian beliefs.
A Wisconsin school district settled out of court this week with trans student Ash Whitaker, who was denied access to the bathroom facilities at his high school that match his gender identity. The Kenosha Unified School District appealed a ruling in Whitaker's favor by the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in August to the Supreme Court. Under the settlement agreement, it will withdraw that appeal and pay $800,000 to compensate Whitaker for the harm caused by the policy and to cover his legal costs. The school board approved the settlement this week, but their attorneys claim that it was based on projected costs of continuing the appeal and not on the validity of their position. While the out-of-court settlement applies only to Whitaker, one of his attorneys said in a media statement that it sends the clear message to all school districts that discriminating against transgender students is against the law and harms students who simply want to go to school. Whitaker is currently a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and says he plans to major in biomedical engineering. I am deeply relieved that this long, traumatic part of my life is finally over, he said in a press release, and I can focus on my future and simply being a college student.
And finally,
enough,
queer ally and pop diva Cher has confirmed that she'll be the headline performer at this year's Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras After Party on March 3rd. She hinted about that possibility in a tweet late last month to her 3.5 million followers. Tickets sold out almost immediately. Organizers said that more space has been made available for the show and that a limited number of additional tickets, going for as much as $250, would be made available, though they'll probably all be gone by the time you hear this report. The Grammy, Emmy, Golden Globe, and Academy Award-winning performer has sold more than 100 million records worldwide and last toured Australia in 2005. Kylie Minogue, George Michael, and Cyndi Lauper have headlined Mardi Gras in the past. Sydney will host 17 days of performances, exhibitions, parties, and community events, capped off by the parade and after-party as part of the world-renowned LGBT festival that begins on February 16th. Mardi Gras creative director Greg Clark told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that Cher would be a fitting star to headline the 40th anniversary of one of the globe's premier queer events. "We have been trying to get Cher to Mardi Gras for so many years," he said. "They tried about 5 years ago and couldn't pull it off. But we've done it this year."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending January 13th, 2018. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
Felicity, do you promise not to load the dishwasher the wrong way or make Jenny always choose the restaurant?
I do.
We'll throw some rice with This Way Out correspondent Barry McKay in Sydney in a few moments. But first, let's hear from one beneficiary of Australia's newly won marriage equality who wasn't campaigning to tie the knot himself. Melbourne's all-queer, all-the-time radio station, Joy 94.9, produced a series of stories from the LGBTI community across Australia for the Community Radio Network during the postal plebiscite campaign late last year. One of those Yes for Love stories came from Ben Hall, host of Joy 94.9's More Music Mondays.
It's almost impossible to escape the emotions being felt by this debate we are in. And I wanted to share a personal story about my life. And I also wanted to make it from the perspective of kids that might have gay parents. Firstly, my parents both listen every week. So, hey, guys, love you guys so much. I know you're listening. But also, what makes my parents so special is that I have two mums and I suppose what is now commonly called a rainbow family. Now, this is something that has come to be more widely accepted in our social circles today, but as a kid growing up in the 90s, it was considered much more taboo. And the greatest thing about being a kid is you don't really see bad in anyone unless it's forced on you or told otherwise. And for me, all I just saw was two loving parents that I obviously cared for so much. Just like other kids have a mum or a dad, I had two mums, and that was all I really knew. A hard part about growing up when I was younger was that I sometimes felt embarrassed to tell some of my other friends that I had two mums, and this wasn't, of course, because I hated my parents, but because I knew their relationship wasn't publicly accepted. Looking back now as well, I think I became numb to the stigma around my supposed different family. It didn't affect me emotionally, but I can look back now on it and see how times have really changed. But to think a kid should have to feel ashamed of who their parents are just because of the way they choose to live their own lives is kind of horrible. And sometimes the parents of some of my friends wouldn't let me play with their kids outside of school because they knew my parents were lesbians, and I didn't really understand what all that really meant, but I just think that's so wrong for a kid to be made to feel that way. And it's also a complete reversal on what I think we should be teaching our kids, which is love and acceptance. I can even remember a childhood friend, one of my best friends. He had an older brother that used to tease me in school, and he never said anything about my parents being gay, but I knew his mother wasn't accepting of my parents' relationship, and that was probably why he used to give me crap in school. This is also why I probably never openly told people about my parents back then. I don't want to really rant on for too much longer, but I just want to say that I hope no kid today should have to feel that just because their parents are gay that they are any different to any other families, because they're not, in my opinion. And I also have to say it was so beautiful to see little kids at the marriage equality rally yesterday proudly standing with their parents and shouting for their deserved place in society. I think it's obvious now that a lot has changed since my upbringing over 20 years ago, but also based on what we are hearing from opposing arguments in this debate, it's clear we still need to keep fighting. And I really hope Australia can rise above its own prejudices, if there's anyone out there feeling that way, or personal beliefs, to vote for something that is the right for others. And I also hope that we can live in a world where kids can feel encouraged and motivated to know the world supports their parents, no matter what their sexual orientation might be. No person or parent in any case may be perfect, but my parents always encouraged me to be whatever I wanted to be and to best of all, love myself.
Yes for Love is a presentation by Joy for the Community Radio Network.
Our thanks to them and Ben Hall.
I'm Edmund White. It is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful over the past couple of decades. And one radio program has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out on this station.
On the first day of Marriage Equality Down Under, the mainstream media air was all abuzz. Our Barry McKay concludes his series of Australian Marriage Chronicles reports with a look at some of that coverage.
January was the first date that same-sex couples could legally wed in Australia without any special exemptions for the one-month waiting period needed when a couple formally gives notice to the authorities of their intention to tie the knot. Many couples did not waste any time in getting married and had a midnight wedding as the clock ticked over to the 9th of January, as this report from SBS News Australia illustrates.
3, 2, 1.
At the stroke of midnight, eager wedding guests gathered to celebrate love.
I pledge to be sensitive and respectful.
Diana and Deanne Ribeiro made a lifelong commitment to each other 5 years ago. This time, the ceremony was legally binding.
It's more about having equal rights. You know, for me, Deanne's always been my wife, always been my love of my life.
A rainy Sydney morning wasn't going to hold couples back. Kylie and Lisa were best friends before they became partners in 2014. Their daughter turns one on Sunday.
We want her to know that we're raising her in a progressive country. That's really important to us, not just for same-sex marriage, but that we open our hearts and our minds to all sorts of, changes.
Changes to the Marriage Act passed Parliament in December after a heated public discussion and postal survey saw almost 62% of Australians vote yes. Celebrants have already seen a boost in business.
Now that they're all going to be able to be legal, then it's really exciting as a celebrant.
A report from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation also went with the midnight marriage theme with a sporty twist.
Making history just minutes after midnight. Athletes Craig Burns and Luke Sullivan raced to make sure they were among the first to tie the knot.
Equality in this way, where we can get married, is a huge step forward for Australia. And you have to take your wins where you can get them.
couple planned the ceremony backwards, choosing to have their photos and their reception first, and then waiting for the early hours of January 9th to tie the knot. Of course, January 9th is the first day in Australia where same-sex couples can legally tie the knot. Luke says he's been bombarded on social media with messages of support.
My Instagram direct messages have blown up with people who I've never met, I don't know, who are just sending love and congratulations. So it's really touching and it's really heartfelt.
Craig says he felt it was important that he get married in front of his close family and friends.
Like, it's another way to show your love and your appreciation and to acknowledge your partner in front of the people that have been in your life.
Luke's sister says she was unsure if she'd ever see this wedding.
A few months ago, we didn't know he'd ever get to be legally married in Australia, so the fact that today he'll have a husband is pretty incredible.
Oh, please don't cry.
The couple are putting off their honeymoon until later this year. They're both in the midst of preparing for the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games.
On the other side of the country, Gillian Brady and Lisa Goldsmith got in early too, in a midnight ceremony open to the public.
I know you have been waiting a long time for this. You may now kiss your wife.
While same-sex marriage was legalised after last year's yes vote, most couples had to hold off for a month after lodging their intention to wed. Not keen on waiting any longer, Michelle Edwards and Zoe Nolan were up at the crack of dawn getting ready for their big day, walking down the aisle one at a time and into married life.
Yeah, we're so glad that it's actually happened.
And to be able to do it on the first day, such a historic day to do it.
And while some couples' vows were more light-hearted than others...
Felicity, do you promise not to load the dishwasher the wrong way or make Jenny always choose the restaurant?
Oh, I didn't.
All were overjoyed as they finally got the paperwork they'd been hoping for.
Just feeling on top of the world, you know, that we're now legally wives, spouses. I mean, how good is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Another widely covered wedding in the media was of LGBTIQ activists Anthony McManus and Ron Van Houwelingen in Melbourne, and video grabs of their wedding were also shared widely on Facebook. Here they are on Facebook in the back of the limo as the excitement was building, both beautifully dressed in blue suits, white shirts, red bow ties on the way to the ceremony. Here's how Channel 9 in Melbourne covered the wedding.
They've been together for three decades, and this afternoon, Anthony and Ron became husband and husband. On day one of same-sex partners being legally allowed to marry, they joined couples across Australia to say their vows.
Thank you for loving me.
And tie the knot.
You are both legally married!
We've been waiting for a really long time. It feels amazing. It just feels great.
It's far from their first wedding ceremony. They've held many others at rallies and on TV, but it is their first service that's legal.
This is our 17th ceremony and our last ceremony because today it's real. I'm really married.
Among the crowd of family and friends, many fellow campaigners who had hit the streets and pressured government for marriage equality.
Ron and Anthony have been at the forefront of the struggle for so many years.
You can't help but be swept up by the passion and the love and the agenda of equality.
To celebrate two men who epitomise love, in my opinion, it's beyond words.
Ron and Anthony decided to get married here in this Paran Theatre because this is where they met 30 years ago when they were both drama students.
Perhaps the most touching part of the ceremony were the vows exchanged between the two, recorded here by one onlooker on a live Facebook feed.
Ron, I've had to write vows before, but writing these ones was difficult. Because these are the most important, these will be the last. When people write their vows, they talk of beginning a life together. But we've already been together for 30 years. They talk about looking after each other in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, in good times and in bad. But we've already been doing that. And with the support of our friends and family, we will continue to do that. Thank you for loving me, for taking care of me during the difficult times, and for making me the luckiest man in Australia. We are standing in the theatre where we rehearsed plays all those years ago. Little did we know that we would be here today. After rehearsing for this moment so many times at ceremonies that weren't legal and didn't stick, today, this one sticks. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud that I'll be finally able to properly call you my husband. Ron, together we fought for this, and darling man, we won.
Yeah. Woo!
Anthony, for all these years, I have loved you. Yet when I look into your eyes, they still smile back at me from the face of a cheeky 23-year-old that I stole a kiss from this school's library. For all these years, I have loved you. But I promise to continue to grow with you, cry with you, and laugh with you, even when I've heard the joke before. For all these years, I have loved you, and our path hasn't always been straight and easy, but you have become my travelling partner, even when we don't know where we're going. For all these years, I have loved you, but I will work to continue to surprise you, because that's what our love looks like. For all these years, I have loved you, and with each new one ahead, I will love you more.
Very well, they didn't grow once. No. I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Sarah Sweeney and Michael LeBeau, produced by Steve Pride, Joy 94.9 Jock Ben Hall, and Barry McKay. Bette Midler, ABBA, and Elton John performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Prentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Q Radio Bangalore, India, WHRW Binghamton, New York, Free Radio Asheville, Asheville, North Carolina, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.